We're going to keep reacting to the week one win against Illinois State. Talk about the good, the bad, great positions, and get into something that Paul Chryst still does that drives me nuts. All that and more on today's Locked On Badgers. Let's go.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what is going on, everybody? Thank you for joining us, my friends. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening to it on the pod, so thankful that you're here to help support the show and build this Badger community. You know, we're week one into it now, and we're going to talk about it. We're going to chop it up, the good, the bad. We are here for your team every single day, and I can't thank you enough. So let's get into it. Segment one, we're going to talk about and leave me some feedback on how you want us to do some of the post-game coverage. We're probably going to tweak it a little bit as we go forward, but we're going to start with segment one, three things I liked, three things I didn't like, and then we're going to get into positional grades. So start with three things I liked. You got to start with Mertz, right? You got to start with the quarterback. You got to start with question numero uno for the entire offseason, for the entire last year into the entire offseason, right? It's Mertz. It's Mertz. It's the passing game, the play calling. It's Mertz. The decision making, you know, he went 14 to 16, 209 yards, touchdown, no interceptions, no forced passes. There wasn't one throw where I was like, oh God, even if it was complete, even ones that were complete, where I was like, I don't think he should have thrown that. He made impeccable decisions. Now, everything caveated with this is an FCS opponent, right? I've talked about that. I talked about that before this game. We can't go crazy and overreact, but what we can do is we can look at decision making. Right. It's not like Mertz every game last year played a juggernaut opponent. Right. And he still struggled mightily. So, yeah, it's Illinois State. But you still have to take something out of this. Like a great coach told me one time, you know, don't overreact, but make sure you do react. Every data point matters. All right. There's no insignificant or there's no meaningless data point. There's no meaningless snaps. It all matters. And Mertz was great. If we get that type of Mertz every game the rest of this year, we're going to be doggone tough to beat. And that doesn't mean we're going to get a 14 out of 16 performance, because as opposing defenses ratchet up, those numbers are going to come down. But if we get that type of decision-making, that type of calm, I was talking to Scott when we had him on the show, and there were two or three moments in that game where Mertz, you know, felt pressure, kind of stepped up, rolled out, and just went out of bounds. You know, 2 yard gain, lived to fight another day. Or there were a couple times where, you know, he hit a hit a second or third read. I just thought he was masterfully in control of everything that was going on in the passing game. And it's a weird game in general, right? Because, you know, the Wisconsin had the ball so little to start with the interception return and the long Braylon run. And quite frankly, a couple of third down conversions by Illinois State against some stuff. We're going to get into that. We're going to get into that later. But, you know, so it's a weird game. I think we would have seen more throws. I think we would have seen Mertz get 20-something throws, if not for the fact that the Badgers had like four offensive plays in the first 15 game minutes. I mean, it was wild. So, yeah, starting off number one, it has to be Mertz. It has to be the passing game. And if you come out of that not willing to admit that, I don't think you have an open mind. We can say, again, it's Illinois State, but we can still say that looked really good. And let's build some optimism off that. Okay. Next thing I like, the safety depth. And we're going to get into Hunter Waller, the injury. But if you remember at the beginning of the year, you know, spring ball going into the summer, safety was a tomb, right? There was no living bodies there. And watching this game, I mean, the Utah transfer, Kamoi Latu, he looks the part. I was watching him, and he physically looks great. He had reaction time, quick, physical, big. Hunter Waller, while he was out there, totally looks the part. Torchio had the 100-yard interception return. We saw a little Austin Brown out there. Titus Toler got in some run. You know, like, that position has gone so quickly from being a potential disaster to, I really like the bodies we have there. Zachman had an interception. You know, we saw a ton of bodies rotate through there, and I thought, you know, Zachman also had a couple of impressive plays coming up. You could tell, like, he also is a physical, you know, athletic kid they have on the back end that they've been waiting to get healthy. So I think safety depth, you have to come out of it feeling like they did a really good job getting that group ready. Now, the Waller thing, That's brutal. Everything we've heard, I don't have anything concrete. I haven't heard anything concrete, but everything we've heard is that's a bad injury and he's going to be out for a while, which is just brutal. But even then, like, again, you're not replacing him, but I like the bodies they have back there. And I feel way better about it now with an injury than I would have in the summer. All right. Last thing I liked, inside linebackers. Yeah. One of the question marks really coming into the season and the entire camp has been who's going to start there, how big of a drop-off. And there is still going to be a drop-off, by the way. No matter what happens, you're not replacing Chanel and Sanborn. But, you know, Muma led the team with 8 tackles. I thought he looked great. Jordan Turner flew around like he always did. We got a lot of rotations in there. So I thought the inside linebacker play was really good. Excited, you know, about what we saw there. Let's get into three things I didn't like as much. The offensive line. Listen, there's a lot of new bodies. Bob Bosted's a new coach, right? So all of that is happening. I think there's some adjustments to be made there. There was also injuries. Riley Malman went out with an injury. You know, Tanner Bordellini before this game is hurt. You know, that's obviously two of your top 6 offensive linemen. But still, like, it just felt there were moments where Illinois State stood up to them and they weren't able to bulldoze them. You know, we had the big run from Allen, but besides that, the running game was a bit of a slog. So, yeah. Offensive line I thought wasn't great, to be honest. Cornerbacks, another one. We're going to get into that with grades, but new look secondary, obviously you're missing a couple pieces. Alexander Smith, Justin Clark, both players that would have been in your top 5 at a minimum with, I mean, Alexander Smith was your 1 and Clark is definitely in your 3 to 5 range. So a couple missing bodies, but that wasn't a banner performance from the cornerbacks. And we'll get into that a little bit more. Last thing that drove me nuts, and Paul Chris, man, I talked about before the game. I've talked about it a couple times. I really wish that we would take some of these moments to work on things we need to get better at for when we need them later in the year. And I'm talking about the right before halftime, the Badgers got the ball back. They're up 17-0. They have 2 timeouts, 40 seconds, 45 seconds, right? Graham Mertz first down pass. I'm already happy with this, right? Because so often in the past, that drive before halftime, Paul Chris starts with a run, which is maddening to me. It's essentially just giving away a possession. We came out, we you know, dropped back. Mertz didn't find anybody. Scrambled to his right. You know, got out of bounds. Second down, 2nd and 8. There's 40 something seconds left. 2 timeouts still. So 2nd down, we throw the ball. Mertz tries to step up, gets tripped up, sacked. Okay, so now it's 3rd and 9-ish. With 39 seconds and 2 timeouts, we're on our 30-yard line, 3rd and 9. And we're not losing this game. You don't have to play this game like Illinois State's going to come back on you. This was a golden opportunity to let Graham Mertz try to engineer a drive before halftime, do some quick passing, and try to see if he could move the ball in a 30, 40-second window into scoring position, playing some hurry-up offense. You're going to need that later this year. And they just let the clock run out with 2 timeouts and it just drove me nuts. I think you're missing opportunities when you don't attack those situations. Like, you're not going to lose to Illinois. If the worry is you throw an incompletion there and you have to punt the ball back to Illinois State with 30 seconds left, who cares? Illinois State's not driving down the field with 30 seconds left against this defense. And heaven forbid, even if they did, they go into halftime down 17-7. They're not winning the game. That frustrated me because it represented an opportunity for Graham Mertz to work on something he needs to work on. We're going to need a 2-minute drive against Ohio State or against Michigan State, against Iowa. It would have been nice to put him in that situation to try it, right? So, yeah, that frustrated me. But, yeah, those are 3 things I liked, didn't like. We're going to get into game grades. Again, really appreciate everybody tuning in. You're going to be interested to see some of where I have the different grades. Definitely, if you disagree or agree, let me know in the comments. But first, today's show is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is incredible. Doing this show, I've discovered Built Bar, and they've become a staple of my life. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Ready? You ready? Delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right. Built Bar has done it again. Let me introduce you to, and I've had this. They sent me a trial. The new favorite, cookie dough chunk puffs. Light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, covered in 100% real chocolate. This stuff is incredible. All the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy. Plus, it has protein. Only 160 calories. Run to built.com. Snag a box for you and your family. It's a perfect treat. or you can find a really good hiding spot, just hoard them for yourself, which is what I've had to start doing because my kids raid my Built Bars. What is great about Built Bar is all of their bars made with collagen protein. Your body absorbs it more efficiently, provides a ton of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You're going to love it. Late night treat, post-workout snack, whatever it is. Go to Built.com, promo code LOCKEDON15. That's LOCKEDON15, LOCKEDON15. Get 15% off your order, promo code LOCKEDON15. You're not going to regret it. All right, everybody, again, want to thank everybody so, so much for tuning in, for making this one of your first listens every day. We're here for your team every single day. The season's just getting started. A bunch of great content coming up. I'm so, so excited. Let's get into grades. So some of this we talked a little bit about in the likes and dislikes, but we're still going to break it down. We're going to do every position. Definitely leave a comment. Let me know if you think I'm too high on something, too low on something. I think people are starting to learn, like, I'm here for all the discourse. If you agree, that's awesome. Let's talk about it. Leave a comment. We'll chop it up. I'll get the comments on the show. Let's go. Quarterback, A. It's got to be an A. And you can grade, again, it's Illinois State. I get it. But he did everything you'd want him to do against Illinois State, with the exception of maybe pushing the ball downfield a little bit. But no bad decisions. Calm in the pocket. Complete control of everything going on. 14-16. And by the way, 14-16 with one blatant drop and one kind of quasi drop, right? Marcus Allen, that first throw on that deep slant on third down to Marcus Allen that went right off his hands. That's a great throw. And he had room to run. That's a 20, 30 yard completion right there. And, you know, so, you know, Mertz hits that. He's 15-16 for 230 and a tutty with no picks, no fumbles. Yeah. No delay of games. Like, Mertz was in control. And we've kind of come down from the upper tier level expectations of Mertz being a complete game changer for Wisconsin to, can he be a good game manager? Can we build a balanced offense with him behind center? And yeah, if he plays like that, we can. And if he plays like that, he can, you know? So, you know, maybe we can continue build back up to the heights of the Mertz mania, where we're like, this guy could be the best quarterback since Russell Wilson, potential NFL dude. But for now, him being a good game manager, him being a player like a Scott Tolzien or a Jack Cohn, that type of level is a huge win for Wisconsin. And he looked the part. So A, straight A, 100%. Running backs, I'm going to go B. Yeah, so you obviously had the incredible Braylon run where he showcased really all of the Braylon qualities that make him unique, right? The physicality, the power, enough speed, but just really good patience. You know, that's something that Braylon – gets overlooked a little with Braylon, because you see the physical imposing frame. I mean, the guy looks like a bulldozer, you know, but he really has the ability to sit in the hole, be patient, see the field with his eyes and pick and choose a little bit. That a lot of running backs, Nakia Watson, you know, when Nakia Watson was a big physical dude, the running back out of Texas that was on Wisconsin a couple years ago, but never had any feel, never had any vision, never had any patience. You know, Braylon on that 96-yard run, which was an incredible run, big, big moment in the game. Wisconsin was only up 7-0. You know, he really showed those qualities. But you take that away, and I thought it was kind of pedestrian. You know, Chez looked good. I thought Chez looked really quick, decisive, 4.8 per carry. I wish they could have got Grendel a few more touches. They got him one in a return game as well. Julius Davis came in. I thought he ran hard. You know, I'm always root for dudes who stick it on the team. Guys that don't transfer. I mean, Davis is definitely an easy dude to root for. But there was also, you know, a couple game moments where it looked like Braylon got tripped up. He could have ran through some tackles. There was a missed block. It looked, you know, where Mertz got blindsided. To me, that looked like, and I don't want to prescribe blame when I'm not in a position to know for sure, but that looked like Braylon Allen missed that blitz pickup. Then, you know, Mertz got walloped on that one. And this is not a season where we can allow Mertz to get hurt. Right. If we can all agree on that, like Mertz getting hurt this year would be a catastrophe, you know, so running backs have to be on point in blitz pickup. And it looked like Braylon missed that one. He wasn't able to slide over to the left, kind of got in Mertz's way trying to get there. And he just got his quarterback lit up. Now, maybe that was an offensive line slide. Someone missed a call, but it looked live that it was on Braylon. So I'm going to go B. You know, again, if you take away that 96-yard scamper, which you can't, it's there. But the rest of the day was a little pedestrian for the running game. So I'm going to go B with running backs. Tight ends, let's go. What do I got here? B+. I thought they were good. I thought they were really solid. It was quite frankly, great to see, you know, Rucci get two receptions. Big Hayden. And he looked natural. You know, he's a big dude. And he, you know, two receptions, long of 14. It was awesome to see Clay Cundiff back out there after his just devastating injury last year. Also a real natural hands catcher. Two receptions, also a long of 14. I thought they were really solid. So I'm going to go with tight ends with a B+. Offensive line, C+. You just expect more from a group with this type of pedigree who is and players who have been in the system for a while now against Illinois State, right? Like there were times where down in the red zone, down near the goal line, we shouldn't have to go to a fourth and goal. You know, Braylon shouldn't be getting hit in the backfield. You know, there you take away, and I said the same thing for Lorraine Max. I'm going to bring it back here. You take away Braylon's 96-yard run. Braylon had 52 yards on 13 carries. If you take that away, that's pretty modest. You know, for a guy who averaged 6+ per carry last season, for him to be averaging around 4 against Illinois State, that's one of the weaker front lines we're going to face this year, right? We're going to face Big Ten defensive lines. We're going to face Iowa. We're going to face Ohio State. We're going to face Michigan State and Nebraska, who, okay, never mind about Nebraska. You know, but like we have real teams coming up, and the offensive line has to play bully ball much better. And it was a little disheartening to see, you know, you have Tippmann up there and you have these 5-star and 4-star tackles, and Beach, the former 4-star, has moved inside and he's a 5th-year senior. And there wasn't a lot of push some plays. It was a little surprising to me. There was also a missed blocking assignment when Miles Burkett came in. An inside blitz just ate him up. He had no chance. You know, so the offensive line has to be better. I don't think they were terrible, but when you look at who we were playing and you look at the production on the rushing game, like I just thought it left something to be desired. And I had a few other people reach out to me as well and just say, yeah, I thought the offensive line would be better. And I don't know if that is just Bob Bostead mania hype, you know, like coming through. Like everyone is so excited for Bostead to move back to the offensive line that they were almost expecting an overnight transformation. You know, it's going to take a little while. Some of these players are still young. And to be fair, Riley Malman got hurt. There's a lot of players in new spots. You know, Tyler Beach is in a new spot. Jack Nelson's in a new spot. So Michael Furtney is starting now. So there is some moving parts here. But I have to say, overall, I thought the offensive line was a little not as dominant as we had hoped. And that's going to do it for the offensive grades. Again, I have quarterback at A, and that's my highest grade of that group. Oh, let's do receivers. I completely forgot about receivers, and I written down. Receivers are a B. I thought they made the plays they had to make for the most part, but there's just that glaring drop by Marcus Allen on third down. And, yeah, you can't have that, right? That's a layup. The contested catches, the 50-50 catches, those are going to come and go. The great players make those. Division one receivers have to make wide open catches on third and four, period. Mertz put that. It was a 90 percentile-ish perfect throw, right? It wasn't the perfect throw. Marcus Allen had to reach up a little bit to get it, but that was a very good throw. Allen needs to catch it. And then later in the game, you know, Allen had a chance for a bit of a more contested catch, but he had inside position. And again, he couldn't haul it in. There's a very realistic scenario where with better receiver play, Graham Mertz is 16-16 in this game. All right, think about that. Shades of that Illinois game several years ago where he went 20-21. You know, Mertz was that on point and that dialed in this game that he easily could have gone 16-16. Absolutely should have gone 15-16 if not for, you know, Marcus Allen getting hands on a couple balls and not pulling them in. So obviously, Chimere Dike with that 74-yard reception. I was hoping he had the Jets to house it, but that was awesome to see. Definitely counting on Chimere to have a really big season this year. And it was cool to see Keontez Lewis. It's always fun to see new players. Like Keontez Lewis was in early. It's always fun to see new players make their Wisconsin debuts. It was a little quiet overall. Skylar Bell got some run. We didn't see a lot of Dean Ingram. Some of that I wonder, again, how much they're saving for Washington State, how much they're saving for Ohio State. I thought the game plan was pretty vanilla, and some of that's on purpose, which you certainly can't blame them. You know, there's tougher games coming up, but I say the receivers are solid B. Marcus Allen kind of held them back with those drops. All right, and those are the offensive grades, everybody. Let me know if you agree, disagree, if I'm too high, if I'm too hard on the offensive line, too high on Mertz. Drop those comments below. You know we'll talk about them. I try to do that all the time. Coming up next, we got defensive grades. Who graded out the highest? Who graded out the lowest? That's coming up next on Lockdown Badgers after a word from our sponsors. Want to thank everybody again for making Lockdown Badgers one of your first listens every day. Really, really do appreciate it. Lots of great content coming up as the season continues going full swing. Let's get into defensive grades. And let's start at a spot where I've been seeing the praise of the defense line all offseason. Right? I've been saying it's criminally underrated. I got to say this wasn't – I'll own it. I'll own it when I'm wrong or even when I think I'm wrong or even when I think I'm not 100% right. I'll own that. I didn't think it was a great defensive line performance, straight up. Like I thought they lacked disruptive plays outside of a couple. You know, there was a really – it would have been – first of all, Fox, FS1, FS2, not the greatest TV, you know, not the greatest broadcast there. A few more replays on critical penalties would have been nice. Like I don't even think they showed – I missed it if they did. I don't think they did. The Benson penalty where he had a roughing the passer that extended an Illinois State drive. I would have liked to have seen that, Fox. Maybe show a replay or two, but that's a big penalty. And you can't have the senior leader, not just at the defensive line, but the senior leader of the defense, right? You can't have him making a roughing the passer penalty on third down that extended a drive. So, yeah, that's not great, you know, and they took Benton out for a while after that. I thought there was a lack of pushing the Illinois State offensive line into the backfield, a lack of penetration. I think the defense line, for the most part, held their spot, but it looked like Illinois State stalemated them at times. And, you know, I thought there's going to be a little bit more there. I did like Gio Paez. I thought Gio showed some real flashes coming in especially when like Benton was sitting down because he had that penalty. You could tell the coaches took him off the field. Paez flashed a little bit. Rodas Johnson had a really nice TFL getting knifing into the backfield. You know, but overall, it was nice to see Cade McDonald out there as well. Overall, though, it was good. It just wasn't great. And I think this unit can be better. I think Benton can be better. I think the defensive ends can be a little more disruptive. James Thompson is a big man. Had a really nice tackle near the line of scrimmage on a running play. I'm expecting a little bit more, though. So I'm going to go B. Probably would have been a higher grade if not for that Benton penalty. Can't have penalties on third down to extend drives. Just can't do it. And obviously, against better teams, that stuff really matters. So we're going B. Linebackers, we're going A, straight A minus. Sorry. Linebackers are going A minus, headlined by Nick Herbig. Boy, I put it out on Twitter during the show. By the way, if anyone follows me on Twitter, I'm not a big in-game Twitter guy because I always feel like it distracts me from the game and I really want to be present in the game. I love game days. We don't get a lot of them, right? And I know if I get on Twitter and I start sending stuff out, people are going to respond and then I'm going to want to respond to them. And it's going to take so much of my energy away from the game that I just don't do it much. But I did throw something out there. I said, Nick Herbig is unbelievable, unblockable. We said it in our preview show. This is his last year in Madison. He's incredible. Two sacks in this game. When he times up the snap, right, Dylan Bebolts from Wisconsin Heroics sent me a message too on Twitter. He's like, when he times up the snap, he's unblockable. Like on one of the sacks that Illinois State left tackle had no chance. Like he was touching air as Herbig was running by him. I mean, he is just an incredible player. So, you know, also had a nice play in coverage. Herbig's a stud. And then the inside linebackers I thought were great. I talked about it again. They're not Leo Chanel, you know, Jack Sanborn great, but they were good. Mubinam Jameda had 8 tackles, 7 solo stops, paced the defense, right? Jordan Turner had 2 TFLs, and he showed all that athletic ability. I thought they looked great. Muma looks big, physical, tough. That is a good inside linebacker duo. And then we saw Tatum come in. I saw Chaney make a really nice play. You know, so they looked really good. Let me put it like this. They may not be the strength of this year's defense, but they will not be a weakness. I am fully on board with that. Those 4 inside linebackers, headlined by Turner, headlined by Muma, are just really solid, and I'm so excited to continue watching Turner and Muma play. So, the other outside linebacker spot, Daryl Peterson got some run, Caden Johnson got some run, CJ Getz was in there. I didn't see a ton of production there. Listen, Daryl Peterson looks terrifying. He looks like a werewolf out there. Okay. He is big, physical. He can run, but it felt like he was always maybe just reading and then reacting. It feels like he may be a few games away, maybe even a year away from really unlocking everything that he's going to be. CJ Getz is who he is. He got beat on a passing play. Not a lot of impact. So I think it's that other outside linebacker spot that's going to be the question mark the entire year. And we just really need, I think, Daryl Peterson, Caden Johnson. You know, we need somebody to step up there to take some of the pressure off of Herbig. So A- there. Defensive backs. Actually, I broke defensive backs up because I think there's a big difference here. Cornerback C. We're going to C on the cornerbacks. Now, it is very important to note Alexander Smith, who's presumably and reportedly really since spring been the number one corner in this group, right? So taking him out of that rotation bumps everybody else up. I talked to Scott about this, friend of the show, and it's like if you have an ace pitcher in baseball, it bumps everybody else down in your rotation. So losing him is a big deal. It matters, right? He should be your number one. Jay Shaw should be your number two. That bumps some Melvin and Hallman all down. But still, like, this is Illinois State. Zach Enick said at one point, he finished 16 of 24. He had five passes that ended up being over 15 yards. You know, they hit some chunk plays. Melvin gave up a chunk play down the side, or Hallman did, sorry, down the sideline. Jay Shaw gave up a couple that this, if you're that seasoned, and Jay Shaw is a veteran at this point, second team all Pac-12 last year. He gave up a back shoulder. It was a really nice throw by Zach Enick said, but we need Shaw to make that play because, again, this is going to be one of the lesser receiver cores we play this year. You know, there was a third and I think six, excuse me, early in the game. And, you know, Jay Shaw was on the outside, lined up one-on-one and gave up, had a bit of a cushion. They just ran a really quick, you know, out to his guy and Jay Shaw couldn't stop it. It was easy first down for Illinois State. And you would think that maybe the recognition, the drive on the ball would be a little quicker there with a veteran cornerback like Jay Shaw. So I thought it was a little disappointing. I thought Cedric Dort, the transfer from Kentucky, had a particularly poor game. He looked kind of lost in space, made a couple bad plays, got lost in coverage. It wasn't great. It honestly wasn't great. Now, I think it'll be better when Alexander Smith gets back. I think it would be better when Justin Clark gets back. But it needs to get better because the passing games are also getting better against us. So, you know, up next week is Cam Ward, Washington State. In 2 weeks, we know we got Ohio State. Or 3 weeks, sorry. You know, we have Ohio State. So it wasn't as good as I thought it would be. I think certainly not writing it off, right? It's early in the year and there's a bunch of new faces, but it needs to get better. Let's go to safeties. Safeties, I have B+. Now, obviously, you have the torch, right? You have the jewelry thief taking an interception, 100 yards, house call. Huge moment in the game too, by the way. Like we were never losing this game, but that was a weird spot in the game where Illinois State was about to take the lead. Maybe a 7-0 lead, a long drive, right? Wisconsin didn't really look engaged in the game. It looked like they were sleepwalking just a little bit. And for Torch to step in front of that at the goal line, go 100 yards, pick him up, put him down, 7 points. I mean, that was just a gut punch to Illinois State. Electric for the Badgers. So obviously that, but like I said, I talked about some earlier in some of the things I liked. You know, the depth looks great. Hunter Wohler looks, it is heartbreaking that he got hurt. And hopefully we get more on that and how long and the severity. But when he's out there, he absolutely looks the part. I thought Zachman looked the part, got an interception. Torchio also had a sack coming off the edge on a safety blitz. I thought Kamoi Latu looked really good in his moments. So I thought the safeties played great. Quite frankly, you know, Torchio did get lost a little bit. I think it was on a tight end crossing pattern where he got a little stuck behind him. But overall, I thought the safeties were really good. I thought the corners were the lesser part of the secondary in this game. And that's it. That wraps up the game grade. So very impressive. If we just wrap it up, I thought the quarterbacks, for the most part, the tight ends, the linebackers, the safeties all looked really, really good. Corners, offensive line. A couple drops on Marcus Allen, definitely things to clean up. But overall, I think it's a good week one, right? It's a tune-up game. It's a cupcake. They won 38-0. Okay, perspective's always needed on this. Nebraska sleptwalked through their second game against, North Dakota State. So perspective is needed. Wisconsin did win 38-0, shut them out. Illinois State's not a terrible team. They're typically a pretty good FCS team. So a lot of good, some bad, things to clean up. Overall, a good experience. I'm feeling good coming off week one because of Mertz. Biggest downside is obviously that Wohler injury. But we got a bunch more content coming up, everybody. Join the Discord if you want. We already had our first free giveaway, the James White autograph rookie card. We have more giveaways coming up to say thank you for joining the show. Really do appreciate everybody tuning in. And with that, we'll talk to you tomorrow on Wisconsin.